We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Good morning, USA.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ MB.
Charlamagne is running late. Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
That's right. It's Wednesday, hump day, middle of the week. Good morning. How you guys feeling? How you feeling, Yeezy?
I feel okay. I feel good. I went to bed early last night.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm excited for Halloween. My kids are super duper excited for Halloween. You know, in the next couple of days, they have the Halloween parade at this school because Halloween's on Monday. So they're super duper excited. So I've been trying to get myself together for Halloween. And of course, the car show I'm putting together on November 27th in Alabama. So it's kind of difficult since, of course, I'm not around Alabama. I don't really have too many family members in Alabama. So it's a lot of flying back and forth to figure out where the cars are going to be placed and vendors and amusement rides and all that other stuff. So we try to put on this amazing show for everybody out there, and families could have a great time. So we're super duper excited. We're almost done planning it out. Of course, it's November 27th. It's 5 weeks away. So if you haven't got your tickets, get your tickets. Huntsville, Mobile, Birmingham, parts of Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. So I can't wait to see you guys, and kids five and under are free.
Now, if you're excited about Halloween, I'm excited for Halloween movies. So I watched this movie on Netflix.
What's it called?
Old People.
Old People? That sounds scary.
Yeah, it's actually, I guess it's originally a German movie, but it's translated into English, so the voiceovers. When I tell you it's pretty disgusting, it's like old people start turning into killing zombies. And they just...
That doesn't seem exciting to me. Did that seem exciting to you, Red? No, it didn't seem exciting to me. That didn't seem like something. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch Old People on Netflix.
It looks scary from the trailer. So I watched it. It was good. I watched that. I watched the whole series, The Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting. I love things that are really scary and disgusting to me to watch. And so if anybody has any suggestions, please tweet it at me or leave it on my Instagram, because this week is all about scary movies for me as I'm waiting for Halloween. That's why I love this time of the year, because on all of the streaming services, all these horror movies and series and things like that happen.
Okay. All right. Well, This morning, Jemele Hill will be joining us. She has a new book, Uphill, a memoir. We'll be kicking it with her about that and everything that's going on in her life.
It's a great
book. Yeah, and then we got front page news. What are we talking about?
All right, well, let's talk about Brittany Griner. We'll tell you what's happening in a Russian court, and it's not good news.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, some quick sports. Last night, the Suns beat the Warriors 134-105. Klay got ejected. He got a little chippy with Booker. So they got a little chippy, so he got ejected. But the Suns did beat them 134-105. Blew them out. What else we got, Yeezy?
All right. Well, the Russian court has rejected Brittany Griner's appeal of her 9-year sentence. You know, she asked for forgiveness. She said it was a mistake, but they are planning to uphold her 9-year sentence for possessing and smuggling vape cartridges that contained cannabis oil. She has said previously that oil was to help her with the pain that she has from a series of sports injuries, but both recreational and medicinal uses are prohibited in Russia. Now, the state prosecutor said that her 9 years was fair, but one of her lawyers told the court no judge, hand on heart, will honestly say that Griner's 9-year sentence is in line with Russian criminal law. He also listed a series of what he said were procedural flaws in Griner's conviction, requested an acquittal, but asked that if the court wants to punish her, it should give her a new fair verdict and mitigate the punishment. So it's a very severe and cruel sentence.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was surprised with the 9 years and that they're trying to make her to serve the 9 years. You know, Russia has a bunch of people here that they're trying to get released, so I'm sure that's going to be part of it. And if they let her go, they won't get those people released. So now it's she's a pawn. They probably want to use her to trade.
But I thought
for
they did
pieces.
Offer to do a trade.
I thought so too. And I don't know so what happened. I just get the negotiations and the conversation stopped. But I thought they were going to do that trade, and she was supposed to be released. So I don't know what happened, why it stopped. Does Russia want more? I don't know where we are.
Well, the Biden
now.
Administration is under growing pressure to do more to get her home following her arrest. And President Biden said yesterday that his administration would continue to make efforts to secure Griner's release, but did not provide any details. He said, "We're in constant contact with Russian authorities to get Brittany and others out, and so far we've not been meeting with much positive response, but we're not stopping."
Yeah, it sucks. It's totally horrible. And I don't think any athlete should go over there. I don't think any athlete should play. I don't think any musician should perform over there until we handle that situation. I think, you know, sometimes we just have to stand together, you know?
Mm-hmm. So she's fearful now that she may have to serve this whole sentence. All right. Elon Musk has notified co-investors who committed to help fund his acquisition of Twitter. It's a $44 billion acquisition. Mm-hmm. He plans to close his buyout by Friday. That's in 2 days, according to a person familiar with the matter. So these equity investors and others have received the paperwork for the financing commitment from Elon Musk's lawyers. And the move is a clear sign that Elon Musk does plan to comply with the Delaware court judge's deadline to complete the transaction by Friday. So that's the plan.
Wow.
He pledged to close the deal on a video conference call on Monday with bankers who are helping fund the deal. Now, Twitter has not commented, but Elon Musk's lawyers also were not immediately available for comment. So Twitter shares jumped up on the news, and they're up 3%. So that's a little bit closer to what Elon Musk's offer price is. That's $54.20 a share.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you think? $44 billion for Twitter?
I can't comprehend. I mean, I guess it's great. I would just think, you know, as a businessman, sheesh, would you buy Twitter for $44 billion? I don't play in that type
of
really money.
It's not profitable. So
I think I would just try to create my own Twitter if I had $44 billion. You know, you could probably use less of that and create your own.
Well, he probably feels like everybody's there already. I mean, a lot of people are on Twitter.
That's true.
Now, Beyond Meat is getting into plant-based steak. So I don't know if you eat Beyond. I actually do really like Beyond Meat. But this new product is going to mimic an expensive cut of beef, and it is arriving as interest in the plant-based sector is kind of evening out. So on Monday, they launched Beyond Steak in over 5,000 Kroger and Walmart locations across the country. It's also mm-hmm. available at some Albertsons locations as well as other retailers.
How does it taste? How does Beyond Meat taste? And is actually, it actually like healthy?
I think it's isolate pea protein. Is what the Beyond Meat is. Basically, this is what I think when I think about plant-based products. If you're a vegetarian, mm-hmm. it's a nice alternative. You shouldn't eat it all the time mm-hmm. because anything that's like processed, I would never recommend that you make that part of your daily eating habits.
But is it healthy, though? You know, like you see, sometimes you see vegetarians and they be like, oh, I don't eat meat, and I don't eat meat, but they're not healthy. They're still overweight. They're still eating things they shouldn't be eating. So is Beyond Meat healthy?
I think you just have to be balanced. If it's more like a treat. So maybe once a week you have a Beyond Meat burger or a couple of times. But like I said, you shouldn't eat it every day because it is still processed food.
McDonald's French fries is a treat. You know, Chick-fil-A is a treat.
Yeah, but if you're a vegetarian and you don't eat meat at all, at least that's a little something for you that
Sour
you can still have.
Sour Patch Kids are a treat, you know? All right.
Some people just don't want to eat meat for whatever reasons that they don't want to do it. They don't want to eat dead animals, whatever it is.
But it's not healthier. Per se.
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily healthier because even if you look at the calories, it's not like it's less calories or anything. And they still, like I said, any type of processed food normally is not necessarily healthy. The best thing you could do is eat like fruits and vegetables, whole things, organic things. But it's not bad.
It's a good marketing tool. Beyond Meat makes it seem like it's healthy, doesn't it? Beyond Meat.
Well, it's just for vegetarians. Okay. If you're a vegetarian or maybe you feel like I don't want to eat meat, but I still want to have that type of consistency and somewhat taste, it's good.
All right.
I made empanadas with mine.
All right.
I did. I made some great Beyond Meat. And we actually, at my coffee shop, shout out to Coffee Uplifts people, we sell Beyond Meat beef patties in there, too. They're delicious with cheese.
Okay. All right. Well, that is your front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, Breakfast Club. This is Big Joe.
calling out of the Bronx, man.
Hey, good morning, man. Get it off your chest.
Man, I want to get off my chest, man. Charlamagne Tha God's watch is always booked, man. You know, he's always late, man. I hope the new Breakfast Club, you know, Angela Yee. I hope the new Breakfast Club is just going to be the DJ and be event. You know, this is just unreal.
He's hey, shut up.
And my coworker says DJ Envy is a, you flip up your sides too much. You flip your story up too much.
Your what too much?
He flips up his story too much.
Mm. Okay.
Like when you're on something, you quick to flip your story.
Okay. Well, you have a good day.
Okay.
And thank you for listening.
Hey.
Hello, who's this?
This is Tom.
Hey, Tom, get it off your chest.
Okay, so I want to talk about this whole Kanye issue, right? I'm trying to figure out why nobody's talking about the fact that Balenciaga, Adidas, and these other corporations, they're okay with giving endorsement deals to people that use the word, you know, use the N-word towards black people, that even talk about killing black people. They use the worst hate speech that we've ever heard. They sit back and drink wine and smoke cigars, and they just fine with that. But as soon as somebody says the word Jew, then all of a sudden it's an issue. And I don't hear anybody talking about that. That's so problematic.
Can I ask you a question? Who else have they given endorsement deals to? What other rappers have gotten endorsement deals from those companies?
Cardi B came up right behind Kanye.
On who?
Cardi B has admitted to drugging people, kidnapping dudes, like...
Who does Cardi B got to deal with out of those people? I'm asking. I don't know. I never knew she had to deal with anyone. Yeah, that's not Adidas.
Yeah, who she had to deal? No. I said she got an endorsement deal. What I'm saying is, okay. Yeah, I'm saying she got an endorsement deal. She was the next one up from Kanye. As soon as they let him go, they brought her in.
Well, I keep you.
Cardi does Reebok, not Adidas.
That's what I said. Yeah, Reebok.
I didn't say Adidas. I said Balenciaga.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know she had a Balenciaga.
I didn't know she had a Balenciaga endorsement.
Yeah, it's been all over the internet.
But I get what you're saying. But I think that we got to recognize one thing. If Kanye West made anti-black statements, then black people need to be the ones outraged. Black people need to be the ones holding them accountable. What organization do we have that's writing letters telling these corporations to hold, somebody accountable?
Like, I mean, that is the truth. I mean,
that's the reality of the situation.
Is the way people come together and make people accountable for the things that they do.
When those anti-Semitic comments were made, the Jewish community, rightfully so, was outraged. The Jewish community had actual organizations like the ADL writing letters, you know, to these corporations demanding accountability. We don't do that. Who did that as far as black
people?
And I saw
that, you know, he has that school that those kids are enrolled into. I saw one of the directors there step down because she's Jewish because of his comments.
I'm just simply saying, like, you know, when it comes to these anti-black comments, like, you know, I don't know who we're expecting to step up and for black people. We got to step up for each other. We got to hold our own people accountable.
800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm dialing. Hey, what you doing, man? I'm calling you.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Double toasted. Good morning, it's Kaya. I want to get it off my chest.
Kaya, you ordering me some breakfast too?
Yeah, I'm at Starbucks, and so y'all can't make me late for work. We got to do this quick.
Oh, I know what I want.
We got to do it quick. Well, go then, go.
Can we get like a Beyond Meat sandwich with the egg and on a English muffin?
No, Angela Yee, this is not your coffee shop. I'm at Starbucks. You know,
hilarious.
This is a change. Yo, good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace, Queen.
Morning.
Morning.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. I won Powerhouse tickets on Angie Martinez's show, and you guys have not reached out to me.
Okay. Let's see. What can we do?
Can I get
to help
hibiscus
you
lemonade?
Yeah, Eddie.
You want a lemonade?
How are people getting their Powerhouse tickets?
I need to see Nikki. Come on now.
But we're going to put you on hold. We're going to get your information and try to clear it all out. Hopefully somebody from iHeart will call you back and make it right.
Okay, thank you. What y'all want from Starbucks?
No, we good now. Thank
well,
you,
now,
mama.
Now we get Starbucks.
Now we get some. Oh.
Thank you, guys. Please.
All right, hold on 1 second. Hold on.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's good, man? It's Martin from Chester, PA.
What up, bro?
Yo.
Get it off your chest.
Hey, what's good with it? Man, I've been calling y'all for 10 years, and I finally got through. So,
okay.
Man, I'm just really just spreading positivity. Keep on trying. Keep on calling. They're going to answer eventually. So Hey, y'all been getting me through my morning, headed to work. So I appreciate y'all, man. Keep doing y'all thing. Y'all ain't going to be nothing without ye, but y'all going to try.
There we go.
I think we'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
I resent that remark. That's like us saying you'll be nothing without us. That's ridiculous.
It'll be an extended 8 hours of all of us.
Exactly. That's a ridiculous comment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, go Eagles. The Cowboys. I see y'all, man.
Oh, I definitely don't like you. I'm blocking your number forever.
10 years.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, yo, this is Justin from Virginia. What's good?
What up, Justin? Get it off your chest.
Yo, I just landed from a red eye from Vegas. I'm feeling blessed. I just wanted to check in with y'all. How y'all mental health?
Everything is good, brother. We feeling blessed, black, and highly favored. A little physically tired this morning from working out and stuff, but I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, man. Like I said, I just got back from Vegas, a little PTO, man, on my way back to Virginia. But I'm feeling good, man. I just wanted to tap in with y'all. Thank you, Charlamagne, for everything you do, man. Got that email out to you, man, so make sure you tap in with your email. But
yes, sir.
Yeah, check out my podcast, the Mental Wealth Podcast, man. I just had Anita Kopacz on my podcast. I got Dr. Rita Walker coming up, man.
Oh, man, you got the best. You got two of the best right there.
Y'all check me out on Instagram, man, at the Mental_Wealth Podcast, man. Y'all check me out there, man. We got some great content coming.
Okay.
All right, brother. Have a good one, man.
Bye. Love to y'all, man. Y'all be good.
Me too. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. Now we got rumors on the way.
Well, since y'all talking about Kanye bright and early this morning, let's talk about some things that have been going on. We'll tell you about the Gap situation and the Yeezy merchandise. We'll tell you about Kanye's net worth, and we'll tell you about Donda Sports.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Kanye.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Tamar Andrews, she's the director of early childhood education at Temple Isaiah, which is a reform synagogue in L.A., and the director of the Early Childhood Education Department at American Jewish University, was also working at Kanye's secret private Christian school, and she resigned from her post in the wake of Kanye's anti-Semitic comments. All right, in addition to that, Gap has removed all Yeezy products from the stores due to his ongoing hate speech. Anti-Semitism, racism, and hate in any form are inexcusable, they said in a statement. And so Gap revealed in September, Gap announced ending its Yeezy Gap partnership. Our former partner's recent remarks and behavior further underscore why. We are taking immediate steps to remove Yeezy Gap product from our stores, and we have shut down YeezyGap.com. You know what's crazy? I was with my makeup artist the other day, and she said everything was on sale on the site. And she was like, they have good quality products, and she was buying up a bunch of stuff.
All those corporations need to include anti-black in their statements, though. When you know, because it wasn't just anti-Semitic comments, it was anti-black comments as well. So when they need to include anti-black comments in their statements.
Yeah, they said anti-Semitism, racism, and hate in any form are inexcusable and not tolerated in accordance with our values.
Yeah, add anti-black into that.
All right, now Foot Locker has also removed all Yeezy merchandise from their stores as well. And according to Forbes, Kanye is no longer a billionaire. His net worth has dropped to $400 million after that Adidas deal termination.
It's amazing to me the number of people that don't understand valuations. I didn't realize that. I thought people knew that.
Well, we seen that yesterday. People thought he had $1 billion cash.
Yeah, I saw people saying they took his money and his assets. No. I'm like, what?
No.
Y'all don't understand valuations?
That's what some people don't, because the way they make it seem, this is Kanye's worth. So some people don't get it. You know, your valuation can go up and down depending on stocks and things like that. All right, now Donda Sports. Okay, he does have athletes signed to Donda Sports agency as well. And according to reports, Jaylen Brown initially had said that he was going to leave Donda Sports, but then he put out a statement saying, in the past 24 hours, I've been able to reflect and better understand how my previous statements lack clarity in expressing any stance against recent insensitive public remarks and actions. For that, I apologize. And in this, I seek to be as clear as possible. I have always and will always continue to stand strongly against any anti-Semitism, hate speech, misrepresentation, and oppressive rhetoric of any kind. In light of that, after sharing in conversations, I now recognize that there are times my voice and my position can't coexist in spaces. So he said, I am terminating my association with Donda Sports. I do seek to continue providing mentorship, love, and support to the incredible children, faculty, and young athletes with whom I've been grateful to form bonds and relationships with during my time with Donda Academy. So that is Jaylen Brown. All right. Now, in addition to that, another athlete, Aaron Donald, has also announced his departure. He said, "Our family has made the decision to part ways with Donda Sports. The recent comments and displays of hate and anti-Semitism are the exact opposite of how we choose to live our lives and raise our children."
Hey, once again, I know those brothers aren't writing those statements themselves, but make sure that your PR doesn't just include anti-Semitic in your statements. Make sure they include the anti-Black actions and rhetoric as well. Don't ignore how he insulted his own people, because when we do that, it looks like we don't care about, you know, what he said in regards to us. We have to teach folks how to treat us. If we don't care, why should anybody else? All bigotry should not be tolerated. So make sure your PR people include anti-Black in those statements as well.
All right. Now, Steve Lacy has smashed a device that was thrown at him while he was on stage. Now, initially, they said it was just a fan's phone that he smashed. And initial reports claim that after a fan threw their phone at the singer, he asked an innocent bystander to pass them their phone before breaking the device and storming off the stage. But now, according to other concert goers, they're saying that he actually did smash a disposable camera that hit him and bounced off of him on the stage and landed in the crowd. So that's the item that was actually smashed. Here is that happening in real time.
Peace.
All right, now this was in New Orleans, and for some reason people were criticizing him for that, but he did say, "My show's been fun as hell. Shout out to the people not throwing disposable cameras at me and just coming to catch a vibe and connect. I had a really good time in NOLA last night. I hate that the beauty of the connection I have with so many people in the crowd gets lost when something negative happens. I don't believe I owe anyone an apology. Maybe I could have reacted better. Sure, always. I'm a student of life, but I'm a real person with real feelings and real reactions. I'm not a product or a robot. I am human."
Yeah, how are you supposed to react to somebody throwing something at you on stage? Especially a damn camera.
I mean, you're a fan, you're at my show, why are you throwing things?
Yeah, what do you expect
you
him to do?
Injure somebody.
Like, what do you want him to do? Take the camera, take a picture of himself, then pass it back to you?
Throw it back in.
Do you want him to do?
No.
People are crazy nowadays, bro.
All right, and Chris Angel said that his heart was in his mouth the moment that he realized there was something wrong with Genuine when they were having that rehearsal for the Magic Stand. If you guys recall, Genuine actually passed out and lost consciousness while he was rehearsing. And so Chris Angel told the Daily Mail, "I didn't know what the hell was going on." And here is the original when Genuine spoke on that incident.
"What's up, y'all? Listen, that's funny. That was a month ago, man. I guess, you know, the episode is probably about to air or whatever, but nah, your boy is good. Superman, y'all already know that. It goes on. We good. Thank y'all for caring and all that. You know, I appreciate that. But your boy is good. All right?"
All right. Chris Angel said that he was shocked how viral the video went when it was leaked. He said, "Honestly, it showed the world that there is a real danger in doing the stunt. Genuine was fine thanks to the safety protocols that we had in place. He was holding his breath underwater in a glass box. And then he was slamming on the sides of the box because he was in distress."
Chris Angel would have killed Genuine. He would have gotten jumped by big women who enjoy male strippers everywhere, because Pony is the male stripper anthem. Okay.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
Big women love Pony. Big women love Genuine. They love to see male strippers dancing to Genuine Pony.
FYI, right. Everybody loves Pony. Guys, y'all all do a little something when the song comes on. You do a little whine.
Yeah,
immediately.
But because of Magic Mike,
Actually don't play Pony. I play So Anxious. I don't.
No, but
Pony.
You know if that song drops, y'all immediately do the little body roll.
I don't know who you're talking about, Angelique.
If you put on Pony right now, y'all can't help it. You do a little roll.
I don't really play Pony.
Who these guys you'd be around.
So you can't help it.
But I know that's the male stripper anthem. I know that.
You tell us, girl.
And big women everywhere would have jumped Chris Angel every time he sung.
"I'm just a bachelor."
He'd have been having to do some real disappearing acts.
My goodness.
To escape.
All right. We got front page news next. What are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about these debates that are really important that are happening right now as we're getting ready for midterm elections.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code ENVY for a special offer when you sign up. That's code ENVY, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Guy, we are the Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get in some front page news. All right. Just out there, the Suns beat the Warriors last night, 134-105. We got a little chippy between Klay and Booker last night. And actually, Klay was ejected.
Man, they washed the Warriors last night.
Mm-hmm. What else we got, Yeezy?
All right. Well, let's talk about some of these debates that are happening as we're getting ready for elections in November. Now, let's go to Pennsylvania first. The Senate debate between Democrat John Fetterman and Republican Dr. Oz. It's the first and only debate between the two of them. Now, Fetterman did have a stroke in May. He suffered from a stroke. And so at times, things were repetitive for him and he would lose his train of thought.
And let's also talk about the elephant in the room. I had a stroke. He's never let me forget that. And I might miss some words during this debate, mush two words together, but it knocked me down, but I'm going to keep coming back up. And this campaign is all about, to me, is about fighting for everyone in Pennsylvania that ever got knocked down, that needs to get back up, and fighting for all forgotten communities all across Pennsylvania that also got knocked down, that needs to keep get back up.
All right. In addition to that, they went back and forth on immigration.
I understand what legal immigration offers us, but the completely porous, open nature of our border, which John Fetterman supports, has created a humanitarian crisis with cartels profiting with human trafficking operations. They take the money, they buy narcotics from China and bring that into our country, and it's making every state a border state. Pennsylvania is already a border state because we're top three in the country in fentanyl overdoses.
I believe that a secure border can be compatible with compassion. I believe we need a comprehensive and bipartisan solution for immigration. That's what I believe. I don't ever recall in the Statue of Liberty did they say, take our tired, huddled masses and put them on a bus and use cheap political stunts about them.
Some people felt like Fetterman shouldn't have actually participated in a debate, and Dr. Oz is more comfortable on stage.
That's right.
They did highlight that ahead of time because he's a professional TV personality the last two decades. And so Fetterman did appear nervous on stage, which is a sharp contrast to how Dr. Oz appeared. And
I was literally thinking the same thing. And it's interesting to watch debates between politicians and celebrities, because that's what Dr. Oz is, right? He's a celebrity. You would think a politician would watch a celebrity in a political debate, but the celebrities are better performers. So even if they don't really know politics, they know how to communicate better and they know how to connect with people from that stage.
Not to mention that Fetterman did have a stroke, like he pointed out recently. So,
but it's not just him, though.
He was losing his train of thought and he was repetitive. And you could tell, like, for instance, he talked about fracking, something that in the past he had been against, but now he's saying he's not against it.
I always believe that independence with our energy is critical, and we can't be held, ransom to somebody like Russia. I've always believed that energy independence is critical, and I've always believed that, and I do support fracking.
I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking, but there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
Yeah, it's not just him, though. I mean, think of like Herschel Walker versus Warnock, or Trump versus Clinton, Trump versus anybody for that matter. Those folks are just more comfortable in front of people. Those years of being in front of the camera, served them well when they're on those debate stages.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's also talk about New York Governor Kathy Hochul against Republican Lee Zeldin. Yesterday, they had their first and only pre-election debate. And here the two of them are talking about public safety.
It's about getting the guns off the streets. That's the first start. We have more to do, but I'm the one to do it.
Did you want to respond?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. And unfortunately, Kathy Hochul believes that the only crimes that are being committed are these crimes with guns. And you have people who are afraid of being pushed in front of oncoming subway cars. They're being stabbed, beaten to death on the street with hammers. We need to be talking about all of these other crimes, but instead, Kathy Hochul's too busy patting herself on the back. Job well done. No, actually, right now, there should be a special session. The state legislature should come back, and they should overhaul cashless bail and these other pro-criminal laws with zero tolerance. But they're saying, elect me. She says, elect me, and then you'll find out where maybe I'll stand on this issue in January.
Now, Lee Zeldin is a conservative who's backed by Donald Trump, and he's campaigned on his opposition to the state's bail reform law. He's also very critical of Kathy Hochul and how she's been handling crime. And he also is one of the people that was against certifying the election when Donald Trump lost. So,
and he's been a guest here on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, he has. Mm-hmm. All right. And
Kathy Hochul hasn't pulled up, though.
Hochul.
She hasn't pulled up.
All right. And that is your front page news.
All right. Now, when we come back, Jemele Hill will be joining us. She has a new book called Uphill,
mm-hmm.
a memoir. We're going to kick it with her when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes.
The
chosen
Jemele
one.
Hill.
She's got a new book out, her Uphill, her memoir.
That's right.
Great picture, by the way.
Thank you.
How many of these did you have to pick through before you landed on this one?
You know what? And this is going to sound far more salacious than I actually mean it, but that was from a Playboy shoot I did.
What?
Yeah, so...
How did you do Playboy?
Yeah, because Playboy, read it for the articles. It's very good writing.
Read for the articles.
It's very good writing in Playboy, everybody.
Hold on, let me see what pictures on the back.
No, but they did a feature on me at some point. I think it was earlier this year. And so the photo shoot, the photographer, I believe his name is Eric Carter. He's based out of L.A. He took some phenomenal photos. So,
wow.
Because during COVID, we couldn't really work out how to, get new photos taken. So I was like, I love these from the Playboy shoot.
Did you play a joke on the husband and be like, hey, I'm doing a shoot with Playboy?
Oh, I totally did. Like, yeah. I was just like, I'm going to be in Playboy. He was like, what?
I think they don't do new pictures anymore.
No,
right?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's like a more of a, content oriented.
They've always had good articles in Playboy.
I'm serious. Listen, Alex Haley wrote for Playboy.
Okay, so like
I don't think anybody ever went to Playboy for the articles.
you telling on yourself right now, but that's okay.
I love the title of the book too. Uphill.
Clever.
I mean, it's a play on your last name, of course, but I mean,
it actually isn't.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. And it was not my title idea. This was not the original title that I wanted.
What was the original title? The what up, though?
313. That came in third. Okay. No, the original title I wanted was Broken Curses, because I talk a lot about my family history, yep, family trauma, and all of that. And my mother, and I'm sure, you know, you guys have heard this before from elders or from your parents or uncles or whatever, but the fact that there are generational curses, and my mother used to talk about, you know, breaking those in our family. And so that's why I wanted to name it Broken Curses. But my publisher, they thought it was a little too negative, that it wasn't uplifting enough.
Mm-hmm.
And my book editor, Shannon, shout out to you, Shannon, she came up with that title, Uphill.
Okay. Mm. And I said to you, The Chosen One, when we first said it, because honestly, you talk about your mom and the things that she's been through and your whole family, and it's a lot. And so how does she feel about, you know, these stories being told?
So I talked to my mother. We had numerous conversations about what was going to be in this book. And she knew what I was doing and the journey that I was on in writing it, and knew that I wanted to write it transparently. But honestly, Angela, that was probably the most difficult part, because I was in the unfortunate position of asking my mother about the worst moments of her life.
Yeah. Mm.
And I tried to save those conversations for last, if you will, so that we could talk about maybe happier things and fun memories, just to kind of not come from a traumatic, you know, perspective. And so it was tough. I mean, my mother told me some stories I did not even know.
Right.
You know, the story that I tell in the book about her.
Don't give too much away.
Okay. But, you know, I guess it's an example of a story. But the story I tell in the book about how one of her low points during her addiction was being, you know, caught in this drug house and having to hide out from drug dealers in that house on the floor, on a rat infested floor. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that story until she told me, because that happened when I was in college.
I was so scared with that part.
Yeah.
She was underneath those dirty clothes, rats running around.
Yep. And she had to stay still.
And I thought they was going to steal her car while she was inside.
Her car, as I tell, did eventually get stolen, you know, it was nothing she could do about it, but it was where she was at the time that it was stolen and what she was doing.
How did you feel having those conversations with your mom? Because that had to be emotional. I was reading some of that stuff that she went through, and I was like in tears.
It was difficult, but I think for her it was cathartic, because these are traumatic incidents that, you know, during the time after she was, you know, sexually abused, and as I tell in the book, she was the victim of a violent rape. You know, people weren't going to therapy then. Like, that wasn't suggested. And as you know, Charlamagne, from your work in mental health in our community, that was something we didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine going through all of that with no therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, as I discuss in the book, she was going through very severe PTSD and did not know it, because that wasn't a term then that we even were familiar with. And so, those were difficult conversations. But I think at the end of them, it was really healing for both of us, you know, to be honest. Like, I certainly knew about the trauma she experienced, but her going into detail, it gives me a better and more enriched perspective about who she is.
Yeah, I feel like it allowed you to give her more grace.
Yeah, and listen, people have been asking me about what I want people to take away from this book. It's a few things, but one of the most important things is that I want people to know you should talk to your people while they're here, right? Like,
absolutely.
Your mothers, your aunties, your father, whoever in your family, find out about them, because usually, like, especially your relatives and especially your parents, they lived a whole life.
That's right.
Before you even got here.
That's right.
And writing this book, it really made me miss my grandmother, who died in 2010, because I realized I didn't ask her nearly as much about her life as I should have. You know, even I know it's hard sometimes for parents and grandparents to share, you know, traumatic moments or their failures or disappointments, but it helps you see them as full people. And maybe that does allow you to give them more grace with some of the decisions they made, and even in some respects to how they've treated you.
I was going to ask, did you understand more after talking to your mom and writing this book? Because, you know, even for myself, I didn't really understand until I had kids. And then when I had kids and I'm living my own life, I'm like, that's why my dad did that. That's why my mom acted that way. But, you know, at during the time, I don't want to say I hated them, but you hated what they were doing.
Right.
But now it's like, damn, I understand. So did you understand more and were able to?
You know what I understood more is why, even in present day, she lives with so much regret. We had an interesting conversation recently about that because I forgave my mother for this a long time ago. I've let this go because I think as a kid, you know, it was different because her trauma was something I had to navigate around. So it felt like my childhood was being stolen from me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you carry some resentment for that. And so I let that go. I forgave her, encouraged her as she was turning her life around. You know, my mother, I mean, she's got her master's now. You know, she got her bachelor's, master's. Mm-hmm. You know, she out-educated me, mm-hmm. which I'm very, very proud that she did that. And she went back to school in her 50s, okay? And so, you know, this has really been a remarkable turnaround for her. But, yeah, I mean, once I let all of that stuff, you know, go, I think I was good with it. But I think she still struggles to forgive herself because she feels like she missed so much. But the thing is, and it's something I wrote in the book, is that my mother was there for everything.
Right.
Like, even though, you know, she had a severe addiction, I didn't have one of those stories where my mom was missing for days, like, mm-hmm. or didn't feed me, or the lights was cut off.
And she was very protective of you.
Correct.
Still, no matter what.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. So, like, that wasn't my story necessarily, because I know some people who are the child of addicts, they do have that story. Mm-hmm. But she was there, but she wasn't always present. Gotcha. You know what I mean? And so I think because she was trying to, figure out how to come out of all the darkness she was in, I had to figure out ways to navigate around her abuse, her drug abuse. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know what mood you're going to be in. I don't know what person I'm getting today. Mm-hmm. I don't know when I come home, what dynamic I'm going to find. And so that for me was where the resentment was coming from, is feeling like, man, I got to do all this. You know, I'm trying to be a kid, and mm-hmm. it's all this seriousness and darkness kind of around us. And so I think once I really talked to her about it, and we've talked throughout the years, but it definitely helped me to understand a lot of the decisions she made.
Mm-hmm. Watching what she went through, did it, like, scare you away from drugs and alcohol?
Oh, I mean, you know, like, I've never, ever tried hard drugs in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who's done any of that. I mean, that I know of. Mm-hmm. I'm not on that scene. I'm not about that. I mean, I smoked a little weed, like, here and there. Mm-hmm. May have taken an edible or two. Like, like, that's about it. Mm-hmm. And I do like tequila. But knowing the history of addiction in my family has definitely made me more cognizant of some things.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Jemele Hill. She has a new book, Uphill, that's out right now. We'll talk to her some more. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
So they didn't get to the best place. There was always unconditional love. My mother loved my grandmother fiercely. But when my grandmother made the decision not to believe her about the abuse my mother suffered at the hands of her brother, it was a fracture in their relationship that never healed. Mm. And unfortunately, even when my grandmother died, like, my mother was her caretaker. You know, like, she, regardless of whatever state their relationship was in the moment, my mother was never going to abandon and stop loving my grandmother. And my grandmother definitely loved her, but she herself was somebody who, you know, we used to have conversations about this. Like, she used to tell me, like, she didn't really want kids. And she felt, she was a very smart woman, you know, and she really wanted a career, like the kind of career I had, not necessarily a journalist, but she wanted a career. She wanted to travel the world, all these things. And she was born in 1925. And so education for Black women was not a thing in terms of people thinking that they should be educated or that there was value in that. As you know, during those times, I mean, everything that a woman wanted to get financially or any upward mobility came through marriage. Mm-hmm. And so she was married 3 times and, you know, she had her 3 kids, but she was just in many ways trapped in a life she didn't feel like she chose. And I think because of that, she wasn't the best parent to my mother and to, you know, my uncle that she could have been. She struggled a lot. They got evicted a lot. My grandmother was a functional alcoholic. Like, they had some trauma, some real issues. And so she was a great grandmother to me. And my mother would still call her a great mother despite all the all the, you know, troubles that they went through. But I just think that my mother never got the grandparent I got.
Right.
You know?
And I was asking, is there anything that you decided not to put in the book? That you was like, you know what, let's leave this out, or I'm going to take this out, or other family members are not going to like this?
I know y'all like to hear the inside. Y'all know, I know people keep it real over here in the tea. There was one thing, I cannot tell y'all what it was. Me and my mother got into an enormous argument about this. And the thing is that it was the only thing in the book she was, because she got an early copy, like an advanced reader copy, where you could still edit and change things. And she was hot about it. And we had it out. But the funny thing was, after our argument, she told, you know, some of her friends about it. And they told her she was tripping. And I had a time to think about it, reflect on it. I talked to my husband about it. And, you know, the thing when you write a memoir, you're writing about people who really exist. And so you have to be careful, truthful, but careful. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's why when I talk about the abortion I had, I did not use the person's real name, because I don't know if they've told that story. Mm-hmm. I don't know if his people know or what state that's in. And I didn't want to take away that opportunity from him to tell his story his own way. So with my mother, I had to think about the fact that, what is this relationship going to look like after this book? Mm-hmm. And while I didn't anticipate my mother would stop talking to me or that, but it could be a wedge issue. And this is in print. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, forever.
It's forever, right? So I had to really think about, do I really want to do this?
I can't imagine what it could be, because there is so much.
I'll tell y'all off air. I'll tell y'all off.
Even, look, your journal, you discussed that
part. Yeah, oh, Jesus.
Man, and for parents, let me ask the guys in the room, because y'all have kids. Would you read your daughter's journal if you saw it laying around?
I would tell my wife to read it.
You would?
Really? Because you don't want to read it?
Yeah, and I don't want to read it, but I do think, I probably would read it. Only because, like, I just feel like there's certain things
that's
that we should know as parents. You know what I mean?
I would definitely read it.
You would definitely read it?
And I would. Mm-hmm. The only reason I say yes is because I've gone through the phone.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
And when
I
went, but that's not the same, though.
Yes, it is.
I don't think the phone is your deepest, innermost thoughts.
Exactly.
But this is the thing, right?
It could not be true things. It could be just you.
It could be you just like venting.
It's like eavesdropping on a therapy session.
It could be something where, you know, something's bothering you that you don't talk about.
That's right.
And you're thinking about committing suicide or hurting yourself or hurting somebody. So if I can stop that, and maybe you hate me, but hopefully you love me later on because I was able to stop that. Now, if it's something else, I mind my business and act like I didn't read it. But if it's something where you could have, you know, hurt yourself, hurt somebody else, hurt a classmate.
Well, how do you look at it, Jamil?
Obviously, I disagree, and I got my ass whooped because of it, okay? And that was the thing, is that because of all the, you know, tumultuousness in our life, that I needed some place to vent. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't vent to my grandmother, because my grandmother, then that causes friction between her and my mother. Mm-hmm. I was too embarrassed to vent to my friends and let them in on the issues. Not like I could pick a teacher, because that's a double ass whooping coming, right?
You didn't have therapy back then.
Didn't have therapy. Yeah. So my journal was literally that. And so there is, I think that might be, that's a top three frightening moment of my life. When you come home and your mother is sitting there with your journal open.
reading it.
That's what you think of me?
Exactly. I mean, that woman, I was like, you tried to kill me, Ma, straight up.
When she read the advanced copy of the book, did it bring you back to that moment?
It was triggering writing it. I was like, okay, because that's the worst ass whooping she ever gave me in my life. Like, there's nothing that comes
close. That was abuse. That was abuse.
It was. And then she, you know, years later, she was like, you know you didn't deserve them whoopings. Well, can you go back in time and unwhoop me? Can you do this? But, you know, that was one of our actually most fun conversations, because there were details of that I did not remember. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that don't really sound like me. Because she told me that, one, she was sitting there with my journal, and then she was like, let's talk about this in the basement. I was like, oh, I'm never coming back. Like,
in the basement.
And she said, that's when I told her that I wanted to go live with my father. I was like, what would possess me to say that?
Right. Yeah, that's because, like, you was about to get. You about to get out the house.
And that's why she bagged up all my shit, and took me right to his job and was like, she's all yours now. And I was like, this was a grave mistake on my part.
This man.
Yeah. I was able to keep a journal later as an adult. And I actually had an ex who read my journal too. And woo.
You need better hiding spots. That's what you
need. I mean, people need to not be nosy. How about that?
But I guess it's your child I understand what they said as far as...
But like, your man? Oh,
no,
hell
not your
no.
Man. Definitely not.
All right, we got more with Jemele Hill when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Jemele Hill. Now, my sports question.
Oh, God.
Draymond Green, Jordan Poole. Draymond Green punches him in the face. Can Jordan Poole stay there and play comfortably there?
Well, and I think this was evident before this incident, just because the state that Golden State is in terms of their finances. I mean, that's a hella check they're gonna have to write in luxury taxes alone if they decide to re-sign Draymond, give him a new deal rather. And so I think it was probably trending toward him not being there anyway. Mm. And you know, I know Draymond, good dude. I know people have polarizing opinions about him. That was a bad moment, obviously. Now, the only thing I debated with people who called it a sucker punch.
No,
I don't
not
know.
No damn sucker
that
punch.
Was not a sucker punch, no. Right? Like, it's just, there's an aggressive moment that's happening, and I know that's your teammate. And people are like, oh, but, he should have recognized that's his teammate, and he wasn't expecting a punch. Have you seen family members fight? Mm-hmm. Yes. I certainly have, right? Mm-hmm. So... I just think that was a really bad moment for him. I think he recognizes that. I think he is honestly remorseful, but I don't see them coexisting.
Jordan Poole should have ducked, because here's the thing. If you push somebody that right. hard, you got to expect something in return.
Something is coming back. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is not Jordan Poole's fault at all, but I think because of the finances, he won't be there.
They're repeating this year, though. They are repeating this year.
Yeah, I was on the fence at first because I was like, I don't know, because this might be one of those. Yeah. Oh, no, because of this incident. Because this might want to be one of those things that, like, early in the season, there's certainly, some momentum that you have now. But the season drags on, I don't know. I don't know how they respond and are able to play when you have that big of a issue that's kind of right there. But these guys are veterans. I think they're hungry. I think they kind of know it's their last stand. Mm-hmm. So I do. I expect them to repeat as well.
Ben Simmons, Russell Westbrook.
What's the question?
Ben Simmons, who's better?
What's the one word that comes to your mind when you think Ben Simmons, Russell Westbrook?
Miss. But honestly, I feel really bad for Russell Westbrook because, especially...
You just gonna jump over Ben Simmons' baguette.
No. I mean, Ben Simmons, I think he's not as bad as people think, and what you hate to see is when you look at an athlete and you could tell psychologically something's going on.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just, it feels like criticizing him, and this is not to say that he doesn't deserve, some criticism, but it just feels like he's mentally worn out. That's what he seems like to me. Russell Westbrook is the same thing.
Really?
Because Russell is clearly frustrated. Russell doesn't want to play this shit. Like, he doesn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But now, and this is the gift and curse of playing with LeBron. It's never going to be LeBron's fault. I'm not saying it is, but the people that play around LeBron, remember how the people used to be on Chris Bosh all mm-hmm. the time? Mm-hmm. Like, it's always somebody that when they play with him that becomes the target for all the frustration over, losing, over all of this, and it's Russell Westbrook. They have made him the villain of the team. And I'm not talking about the organization itself, but fans, And he's clearly struggling. I kind of agree with what Charles Barkley said. I don't really see the joy in his game like I used to. Like, he's certainly still a great athlete, but you'd be crazy not to think it's not mentally wearing on him, that he's not thinking about this every time he takes a shot. The fact that the fans are booing him. It reminds me of when Josh Smith played in Atlanta, and every time he took mm-hmm. a three-pointer, the crowd would be like, no! It's like, I feel like I hear that every time Russell, takes a shot. Like, people are mad, yeah. Right? And so to play like that in your hometown, mm-hmm. right? And that's the vibe? You can't tell me that mentally, that wouldn't break you a little bit.
That's interesting, because I feel like Ben is mental and Russ is just physical. Because Russ still got that energy and confidence. I just don't know if he's physically able to play the way he used to.
I mean, I sense certainly the energy. I don't mean to make it sound like he's melanin in or like that, but it's like a joy that comes to playing with basketball. Mm. And it doesn't feel like he is playing with a lot of joy.
Mm.
That's all. No cowboy questions? I thought I was going to get some.
We're going to the Super Bowl. I don't need you to tell me that we're going to the Super Bowl.
Let's go ahead. What do you think about my New York Giants?
I think the Giants look good. I mean, I'm sure Daniel Jones is thinking about how he got slandered when they made that pick. And
the
now,
last couple of years, he got slandered.
Definitely last couple of years, but they didn't have as good of a team, I think, as they have now. Love Brian Daboll. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, definitely one of those coaches I've been watching for a while. And so he felt like he would be a good fit for this team. So, look, New York football, Jets and Giants. You know, Robert Saleh, like, he was I'm a 49ers fan. He was...
How'd that happen, by the way? I always wonder about that. How did Jemele Hill end up a 49ers fan?
Well, as you...
Was she going to be a Lions fan?
Yeah.
Listen, I value my mental health. Isn't that what... That's what you talk about, Char, all the time, right? It's like, mental health is wealth. For my mental health, I was never a Lions fan. And it's crazy because my husband's a huge Lions fan. He was at the Cowboys game, by the way.
He busted their ass on Sunday. Busted their ass, what?
And, no, I mean, so my mother, as y'all know from reading the book, you know, she spent some time in Oakland. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where I was, I think, conceived. Okay. And so because of that, she liked the 49ers. And so, you know, she would root for the Lions and for the 49ers. She really liked Joe Montana. That was, like, one of her favorite players. And so I just, you know, they were winning.
You went with that team.
I went with, why would you not go with the winning team, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, granted, you grew up in South Carolina, so y'all didn't have your own NFL team. Mm-hmm. And a lot of black fans that were not in NFL cities were Cowboys fans, even some that were. Like, in D.C., you know, it's kind of a not so... quiet secret, there's a lot of Cowboys fans in D.C., right? And so, at any rate, so I just became a 49ers fan. I've been with him, you know, ever since. But Robert Saleh was, like, a great coach for us. So I when he was going through that last year with the Jets, I was like, this dude about to show, he about to show them. Because he's got the, he gets players to buy in, certainly from a schematic standpoint. Like, he's a really good coach.
What about the Cowgirls? I mean, Cowboys. What are your thoughts on them?
Offense still look a little rough, Char.
We do.
Look a little rough, but that defense, it's a championship-level defense. Yeah. And this was the kind of defense I wish Tony Romo would have had. You know, that's no in no way a shot at Dak Prescott. But people like to, as you know, they like to hate on Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. But they forget that he had categorically some of the worst defenses in NFL history. And I was like, damn, if they'd have had this defense with him, y'all might have won a couple. But
they didn't.
The Giants got the second-best record in the league. You know who beat them?
No, here we go. Y'all go through this. I'm sure, on a daily basis.
I just want to make sure you know who beat the Giants, right?
The third best team.
Just let you know.
But I like the Cowboys. But you know I ain't picking them over the 49ers.
Hell no.
Right?
But you know we're going to the Super Bowl this year, though. Because defense wins championships.
We know. Yeah. Like, we know that in San Francisco. That's why we had to come to Dallas last year and give y'all a piece.
That is very true.
Right.
That is very true.
Well, we appreciate you for joining us.
Go get Uphills out right now.
Thank you, guys.
So much.
I appreciate y'all.
And I just want to say one last thing about Jemele Hill. When I announced my show, she called me in the middle of the night from Portugal. You were in Portugal, right?
No, I wasn't in Portugal, but I was somewhere out of the country. Was I in France? Maybe I was in south of France hanging with this dude.
Oh, that might have been
that. Yeah. That's what you said.
Was that before that? I don't remember.
You were here when she announced it.
Oh, yeah, you were here? Okay, but I was gone.
You were gone. I went on the night, and she was like, I just want to say congratulations. Yes. I was like, that is so nice.
Yeah, no, Angela.
I appreciate
it. I'm really proud of you for doing your thing, and as I wrote in the note to you in the book, is that you... you know, the agency, you betting on yourself, like, that's very, not just admirable, but it's very inspiring for somebody like me who, throughout this season of my career, that's what I've done, is, like, bet on myself. So I love seeing other women do, you know, the same thing.
Well, Jemele, thank you. I appreciate it.
Listen,
y'all, get off my girl.
Let me tell you something. I was late. Envy was stressed because he had to do my job.
Because she was late this morning. This is what they do.
But I'm you like, want me to leave?
Go.
I didn't show up.
Thank you,
go
guys.
Get Uphill. Jemele Hill. Her memoir's out right now.
That's right. I'm trying to be a bestseller, y'all.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
That'd be good. Actually, Envy, I have an idea.
What under some lights?
That would be good promo for your car show if you actually twerked on some headlights.
You think?
Yes.
No.
And then you could be like, car show coming.
Yeah, that's why you don't promote car shows, you. That's why you don't do car shows.
Envy could do that.
I don't want to see that.
Yes, you do.
I see it all the time. And then I don't know cars. You know.
Let's get to the rules.
He's not going
to
let that you.
That is a rule. Listen up. I just told a great one.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report. Gossip. With Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Envy, car show coming. Twerking on them headlights. Envy. Mm-mm. Envy, no? Mm-mm. All right, let's talk about Jonah Hill's new documentary, Stutz. They've just released a trailer for
called
it.
What?
Stutz. That's the name of his therapist.
Stutz. Oh, okay.
Phil Stutz.
Okay.
He's his therapist and longtime friend, and here is that trailer.
I'm just going to start by acknowledging how odd this endeavor is. A patient making a movie about his therapist. But my life has gotten immeasurably better as a result of working with you. If it worked for me, maybe it will work for other people. And you want your friends just to listen, and you want your therapist to give you advice.
You don't have to solve all their problems, but you have to give somebody the feeling that they can change right now. Vulnerability connects you to the rest of the world. You're giving out the signal to the world, I need you because I can't do this by myself.
You are still in the struggle and in the fight of being a human just like everybody else.
Take action no matter how frightened you are.
Chopping right. A clues bomb for Jonah Hill.
November 14th.
I love it. And you know, anything that encourages people to go to therapy, I'm all for it. So I love it.
Yeah, so he's hoping that if people see how therapy has helped him, then they can see how it may help them. And it's an unorthodox type of situation because it is a longtime friend of his who was also his therapist. But he's talked about his struggles with anxiety. He said he's allowing himself to be vulnerable. He wants people to work on their own problems too.
What platform is it coming out on?
I'm not sure. It just comes out November 14th. I don't know if it's in the movies, but he's actually not promoting his films. He's taking down his social media. So, got to get it together, I guess, for whatever anxiety reasons and things that he's been going through. All right. Now, Akon recently was talking about how he got a $1 billion credit line from China. He was on Vlad TV and he revealed that he got that credit line to light up Africa with solar street lights and small energy systems. However, he said that we're asking for $5 billion now. He said they used that money already and paid it back. $1 billion credit line. But good for him. He's really making moves. And speaking of making money moves, Kevin Durant, Ray Lewis, and Pharrell Williams are all part of a group teaming up to revitalize an arena in Baltimore. That CFG Bank Arena was originally the Baltimore Civic Center and most recently Royal Farms Arena. It got its new name on Tuesday, the CFG Bank Arena. There was a ceremony featuring Pharrell and Ray Lewis. They are preparing to reopen next year. It's a 61-year-old arena. It's one of the country's oldest. So they closed in May. They underwent a $200 million renovation. And so now their new arena is going to hold 15,000 people, have upgraded concession stands. The money came from Kevin Durant's 35 Ventures and developer Oak View Group.
Okay. They do like WrestleMania in there. They, you know, the truck. What's that? The monster truck thing and a couple of sports. So that's going to be dope.
Yeah, as part of the investment deal, Oakview will lease the arena from the city of Baltimore for 30 years at an annual rate of $1.75 million. That rate will rise with inflation, but the city will refund any taxes paid above that amount. All right. Now, as Snoop Dogg, he has a professional joint roller. And she revealed that he smokes up to 150 marijuana blunts on a daily basis.
150?
I don't even know how that's possible.
No.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Mm-mm. That's a lot. That's a lot of blunts.
No. I don't even understand how you can do that.
No.
She first joined his team in 2016. She said she has rolled more than 450,000 joints for him since she's been on the payroll. And so she said she does about half a pound a day. That's 75 to 150 joints.
Maybe because he's giving out weed. Or
yeah, maybe he's
work. Rolling blunts and passing them out to other people, maybe.
150 a day. So
there's no way.
That's what I said. That's, I don't see how that's, but that's what she said.
Mm-mm. Nah.
You know, according to Renegade, that's her mm-mm. quote. But I don't even see how you have enough time.
Nah. And Snoop Dogg is way too productive to be smoking 150 blunts a day, bro.
But it is. Maybe he is giving them out to people if you're around him.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Still, though, 150 a day is a lot.
Yeah, he's way too productive. He works hard. Not to mention he's a father and husband. There's no way he's smoking 150 blunts
unless
a day.
He does the small ones, maybe. The small ones?
Nah.
The dog walkers?
Nah. No. No way.
All right, well, that is your rumor report.
And the Jonah Hill documentary is going to be on Netflix November 14th.
Netflix.
Yeah, Stutz.
All right. Who are you giving your donkey to?
Four after the hour, North Carolina sheriff named Jody Green. Not only is he getting donkey today, this is a very teachable moment based around some conversations we've been having over the past day or so. We'll talk about it four after the hour.
All right. And then after that, ask Yee. So if you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can get on the phone right now, 800-585-1051. Donkey today is up next.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Discover something new on HBO Max. Stream the latest HBO originals like House of the Dragon. Then catch the biggest movies like Elvis starring Austin Butler. Discover the stories that move you. Learn more at HBOMax.com.
Problems in this country between police and community.
Yes, you are a donkey.
The latest on that police killing of a black man.
Now to new developments in the deadly spa shooting rampage.
And yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
And so we are in a state of emergency.
Okay, white supremacy violence is, it always has been, the number one threat to our society.
But I'm also very proud that my wife is white.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
All right, Sunday, please tell me, why was I your donkey of the day?
I laugh every morning at I'm also proud my wife is white. Literally. Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, October 26th, goes to a North Carolina sheriff named Jody Green. Jody Green was forced to resign Monday after officials unearthed a damning phone call of the elected official spouting racist and vulgar language. I love when media outlets use words like unearthed. You know damn well someone sent y'all that, but I digress. Now, what was the racist and vulgar language used that got former Sheriff Jody Green up out of here? Let's go to NBC News 6 for the report, please.
On one end of the phone is current Columbus County Sheriff Jody Green. On the other end is Jason Soles, the man who previously served as interim sheriff while officials settled a dispute over the 2018 election. We should warn you, there is some graphic language in this call. Sheriff Green says, quote, he is sick of these black bastards and that every black he knows needs to be fired.
Jeez. Because I had to fire the motherfucker out. And guess what?
That's the voice of Columbus County Sheriff Jody Green. He won his seat by 34 votes in an election that was so highly contested, he'd been temporarily removed from office while officials settled the election disputes. That was the setting the night Green called Acting Sheriff Jason Soles, saying their office had a snitch.
He made the comment that he hated Democrats. And then he said, I take that back. I hate a black f***ing Democrat. And I knew right then, I was like, wow, this is coming from the sheriff. And I had to start recording those conversations.
Jody Green said he was going to clean house of the black bastards, the black snakes. What's interesting about statements like that is the only thing needed to clean that house was to get rid of the racist Jody Green. Jody Green is indeed the trash that needed to be taken out. It really has to suck to be a racist, because since you already have your mind made up that you don't like a certain group of people, you miss out on great energy, okay? Imagine thinking you have to clean house just because you don't like blackness. You're probably getting rid of some of your best officers, you know, just because they are black. And not to mention, Jody was afraid that some of the employees were undermining his authority. No, it's just the guilt of you being a racist was tearing your ass up. Okay, it's like when you cheating on your significant other and you feel guilty, so you start thinking they cheating too, and you got the nerve to accuse them of doing dirt cheating on you when it's actually just you. That's what the sheriff was doing. All right, thinking folks was undermining his authority. No, bruh, they was just on to you. Let's listen to some of this pale pigmented paranoia.
Former Sheriff Lewis Hatcher was the first African-American ever to serve as sheriff in Columbus County. Green says on the call he's specifically concerned that people in his office are leaking information to Hatcher and Melvin Campbell, another African-American officer Green fired shortly after taking office.
It stopped. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. I'm still the mother sheriff, and when I'll go there and fire my goddamn black bastard.
It gets worse. After the sheriff explains that he's getting phone records from Verizon to trace anyone in his office who's called Campbell or Hatcher, he lets Soles know the plan.
And Melvin Campbell's the biggest snake as Lewis Hatcher ever dared to be. Every black that I know, you need to find him to start with. He's a snake.
Now, Jody resigned to avoid ordeal and spectacle of a long trial. The reality is he probably resigned before he got fired so he can get his pension, but I don't know anything about that. The reason I'm telling this story is because he probably wouldn't have even resigned if there wasn't a collective effort by black officers to get him removed. There was a 54-page petition calling for Green's removal and the phone call, as well as a lot of other transgressions were detailed in this position. According to the petition, numerous individuals disclosed a concern about the sheriff and his agents engaging in intimidation and abusing authority. In fact, the Columbus County DA, John David, has been trying to remove Jody Green from office since October 4th when the first petition for removal was filed against the sheriff. Keyword, first! So it was more than one petition. Why am I telling y'all that this morning? Because I need y'all to know that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has and it never will. That is a quote from one of our ancestors, Frederick Douglass. See, the past 24 hours, I've watched people say, well, how come none of these corporations didn't drop Kanye West when he said slavery was a choice, or when he wore the hate slogan White Lives Matter on his shirt, or when he lied about how George Floyd died? That last one, I don't think is a reason for a corporation to want to fire him. I think the consequences of that are a lawsuit, which he received. But the others, well, those corporations didn't really care because you didn't make them care. Yes, black people, I'm talking to you. If you want someone held accountable for something, then there has to be an organized, concerted effort from you and others like you to hold them accountable. Not only did the Jewish community have petitions, they had high-ranking executives and agents writing op-eds and releasing public statements to businesses demanding that Kanye West gets held accountable, demanding that people stop doing business with them. Just like in North Carolina, they had petitions and they were demanding that this sheriff gets removed. The North Carolina NAACP submitted a letter to the U.S. Department of Justice detailing requests for additional consequences to happen to this former sheriff. Just like the Anti-Defamation League wrote letters to Adidas demanding Adidas stop doing business with Kanye. You have to push for things to happen because these corporations, institutions only gonna care as much as we, the people, do. whether it's the people on the inside of the corporation pushing for accountability or it's people on the outside pushing for accountability, power will never concede anything without a demand. Whether it's Adidas saying we are going to put this deal under review or a sheriff's office saying we are investigating the matter. When corporations and institutions say stuff like that, all they're saying is, let's see what the backlash is going to be. When they don't see an organized, collective effort demanding any type of accountability, they keep it moving. Business as usual. This sheriff wouldn't have even resigned if there wasn't petitions, organizations like the North Carolina NAACP, and officers on the inside demanding that he get let go. It's just that simple. Why? Because power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. Find out just what a people will submit to, and you have found out the exact amount of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. And these will continue till they are resisted with either words or blows or with both. Frederick Douglass, ladies and gentlemen. I salute those brothers and sisters in North Carolina who made sure their demands were heard and made power concede because of it. Please let Chelsea Handler give former Sheriff Jody Green the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw! Hee-haw! That is way too much Dan mayonnaise.
All right. Well, thank you for that, donkey.
Kathy Griffin don't want none?
Please give this giant jar of mayo the biggest hee-haw.
What about Chris Rock? Chris Rock ain't got nothing to
crack say. Ass, crack
ass! Oh, okay, Chris. What about my girl? Oh. And she could be the new sheriff of North Carolina as well. I don't know if she's still working in that fast food place, but she can be the new sheriff of North Carolina. Okay? The new sheriff in North Carolina. All right?
All right.
Okay.
Up next, Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Yee now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Yee.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Angela.
Hey, good morning. What's your question,
Angela?
For you?
Hi, Angela. Good morning. My partner, he's great in every aspect, but in the bedroom, he doesn't enjoy, like, oral. His sex drive is not to the same height as mine, so, like, mm-hmm. I want to have sex multiple nights, sometimes multiple times a night, and he just tired.
That's a lot. That's a big... So you want to do it multiple times a night?
Not every night, but some nights.
Okay. There's a lot of guys who are one and done.
Yes.
You might have to...
He's tired. His job is tiring, but sometimes I just feel like... And he's okay with me, like, sitting myself, like, I'll just go roll over and take my toy out of my nightstand, but it doesn't feel... Like, I don't feel like, okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this. If you can only do it one time, you might have to extend that one time so that he's not... You know, going. He might have to do more foreplay for you to get you good and then get himself, you know. So, in other words, he might have to do oral first. You might have to orgasm that way. And then he might have to have sex. And then you can orgasm that way, too.
But I don't know how to have that conversation with him.
Okay, this is your man. He sleeps with you every single night. You guys talk about other things. But if you're not happy and you don't express it to him... How's he going to know?
Yeah, you're right.
And we shouldn't be scared to have these conversations because there might be things that he wants to tell you also. And now you're not saying anything. He's not saying anything. So nothing's getting done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very like, he is my first. I was a virgin to him. He's my first man. And so I think that, you know, my sex drive because I'm new at it and I'm enjoying it. But he's tired and I know he works, but sometimes I'm like, we're done. Okay.
And maybe y'all need to get in bed earlier because sometimes, you know, we end up eating, watching TV, doing other stuff. And then before you know it, it's late at night. And by the time you get in bed, he is exhausted. So maybe that means, look, get in bed a little earlier so you can have some more time because I know what it's like to look at the clock and the other person wants to have sex and you're thinking about how much sleep you're about to get.
Oh, they are.
You know, okay. But and listen, I think there's always a positive reinforcement. You can let him know I enjoy having sex with you so much. I be wanting to do it more than one time. It's not like you're not pleasing me, but it's more like I love it so much. I want more from you.
Yeah. I mean, when it happens, it's great. But But like last night, it was just like, I was so tired. And he was tired this morning too. But then I was like, well, but now I did. So after he left this morning, then I masturbated.
Yeah. And that's good that you could do it. And sometimes maybe that'll turn him on too, if he's up and you're doing that. You know, you just have to incorporate other things into the bedroom. At least you like it when he does it, but you got to let him know. Because if he doesn't know, nothing's going to change. And then you're going to end up being kind of resentful, and you never want those feelings to build up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. He might love it, you know, and things could really change for the better.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Yee now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Keep it real with you. Here's some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name is O'Shea. I'm calling from Miami, Florida.
O'Shea, yeah. O'Shea, what's your question for Yeezy?
So I recently just had a bad breakup with the boyfriend I was dating. And I just found out that he suffers from, he's literally diagnosed with mental health illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, multiple personality syndrome. But these things only got triggered under stressful situations. Mm-hmm. And I never knew this. So we've been dating for a year and a half. Long story short, something blew up last weekend and he ended up being arrested. They wanted to make it a domestic violence situation, but really he was just having a moment and I didn't know that he was diagnosed with these things. Mm-hmm. So his sister reached out to me and let me know the truth of what he's diagnosed with. And it's not fair, the family is now casting him out and saying they want to cut him off or he was wrong. But she's like, no, because dealing with somebody with mental health illness is different than dealing with a normal person who's just being wrong or abusive. Right. So now that these things are coming to light, I want to know, after he just helped me, should I give him another chance that I still love him? Or should I just let him go about his life and find happiness?
Well, I think what's important here is the reason he didn't tell you, I can imagine, was ashamed about it. Maybe he was embarrassed. Maybe he thought that you wouldn't want to be with him if you knew those things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he tell you why?
He's never mentioned that to me. I kind of figured something was wrong, and I noticed that he was a little bit different sometimes. But he never actually told me. He was, hey, I'm diagnosed with this, this, and this. And I know for a fact, now it makes sense. Now everything comes to the light. But I wanted to shed light on mental health illness because it's very real. And we can't just like shut people off. So I would like to give him another chance in the future. But I don't know, is it something that I'm willing to deal with all those issues, or can it be healed or helped?
I mean, look, it is going to take a lot of extra care on your part. But the questions are this: A, why did he not tell you? And if I had to guess, you know, it's not an easy conversation to have with people, and keeping a secret like that can really be harmful to a relationship. But now that you know, and you can have a healthy communication about it? And then I was going to say, what is he doing moving forward? Is he working on that? Does he need to be on medication? Is he taking his medication? Is he going to his therapist? Does he have a support team? What's the plan for him? Because another thing is, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where someone doesn't want to help themselves.
Exactly.
So that...
It's traumatizing for me, what I went through with him, because my mother suffers from mental health illnesses too. She put me through a lot.
Right.
And with her disability. So it kind of was like traumatizing. But he's such a wonderful, good guy. He's the best guy I've ever dated compared to all the other guys I've ever dated. So it would be worth it. And I think we can have a conversation now. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know if it would be worth it. And from what I hear, his sister said he's willing to commit himself into a facility and get back on medication and start taking therapy. And she said he really wants to get his family back.
Okay. All right. Well, look, to you, I can't tell you what's worth it and what's not worth it. That's a decision that you have to make. And I feel like if you are willing to make that commitment, and so is he, then you can see how you can move forward. But just know that if he doesn't, you know, if he's not willing to do that, you might have to walk away, because I do want to make sure that you take care of yourself as well. And that doesn't mean sacrificing your own well-being for someone else that's not trying to handle what they need to handle.
Okay.
All right.
Makes sense.
So just all know, right. just know what your limitations are, what your boundaries are, and see what he's willing to do. See if he's willing to be open and honest with you. Make sure that he's getting the help that he needs. Keep him on track. And if he's making that effort and you're like, this is a great guy, this is who I want to be with, I know there's going to be some challenges, but as long as we're going to work through them together, then I feel comfortable with that. That's on you.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it. And I love you guys. Y'all make my morning every day. Thank you.
We love you too, O'Shea. Good luck.
Have a good one.
All right, thank you.
Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way.
New Rihanna coming up. Just kidding, but we'll tell you about it.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor. On The Breakfast Club. So listen up.
Well, it looks like Rihanna is definitely going to be featured on the soundtrack for the upcoming Black Panther sequel, Wakanda Forever. So they teased that by putting a post up on social media. If you guys saw it, there's an R. It says 10/28/22. And then Rihanna also commented under the post with the emoji and a heart emoji. So.
Well, absence really does make the heart grow fonder, because I am very, very, very interested to hear what Rihanna sounds like musically after all these years. When the last time Rihanna was on something? Khaled Wild Thoughts?
Yes. I think Wild Thoughts was the last.
Sheesh.
Might have been. I really don't. I think I remember. Yeah.
I think it was.
I'm very interested to hear what she comes with.
All right. So I guess we'll hear soon, because the 28th is in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Drake has issued a cease and desist to Fake Drake, because he's been getting all kinds of money, all kinds of appearance fees. And so Fake Drake had also challenged the real Drake to a boxing match. I'm sure that didn't help. Drake was probably like, all right, now calm down. You've been getting your money. We ain't got to do all this. So Fake Drake shared a seemingly official document on his social media that came from OVO. It said, Dear Izzy Drake, this letter serves as a notice of your unauthorized use of the trademark OVO to promote your brand and likeness, as well as your unauthorized fabrication of media, which is per se damaging and defamatory to our brand. Your conducted actions are unwarranted, unwelcome, and unacceptable. In addition, this shall serve as a pre-suit letter demanding that you provide us written assurance within 7 days that you will cease and desist from making any further factually untrue statements involving OVO sound and or Drake, and that you will no longer fabricate media that portrays the aforementioned trademarks. Thank you for your cooperation.
Well, cease and desist is always the calm before the storm. So that Fake Drake needs to take heed, because if he doesn't, he's going to get sued for millions of dollars he doesn't have, and you don't want that smoke from Canada.
I think he changed his name already. He's mm-hmm. no longer Izzy Drake, whatever it was. I think it's something else, but yeah, he changed
his
name.
Yeah, his page already. Is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, the page is gone and everything?
Yeah.
Smart man.
Got up out of there.
Because Drake could have easily the cease and desist has to come first, but then he could easily just hit him with the lawsuit and just jack him up in court.
But can you sue somebody for impersonators and stuff? If you don't use the logo and you don't, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, people impersonate people all the time.
But I guess with his situation, it might have been different, because he actually was acting like him, saying he's OVO such and such. I don't freaking know.
Getting shows? I'm not sure.
I know you can't use that OVO logo. And I know you, but
an owl. It was an eagle.
All right, Killer Mike and Mac Phipps have been unveiled as guest speakers at the Rap on Trial Symposium. That's going to be happening in New Orleans next month on November 1st at Dillard University. So that event is being held to address the issue of law enforcement and prosecutors using rap lyrics as evidence of a crime. If you're an artist, a lawyer, law student, journalist, or anyone that loves hip hop, then you will want to be in the building. So for everybody that wants to hear more and speak more about that, you can do that in New Orleans. All right. Now, Ashanti has done an interview with Angie Martinez. That's her IRL in real life. And that full interview did it come out yesterday, last night?
Yep, yesterday.
Yeah, last night. And so here is, I saw a lot of people talking online about, you know, Ashanti speaks for the first time about Irv Gotti and she's speaking her truth. Do we have the audio? Because I don't see it up. No? Yes? No? Okay, well, forget it then. And Mary J. Blige and Jill Biden are launching an American Cancer Society roundtable.
Great show, guys.
Yeah, they're hosting that. According to Billboard, the Cancer Society agreed to host the event after Jill and her husband, President Joe Biden, helped bring back cancer moonshot initiatives in 2022 that provides more money for cancer research. Here is a trailer for that.
I'm convinced that if all my aunts, my godmother, my grandparents, would see, oh God, would have the opportunity to see a campaign like the ones on which I partner with the Black Women's Health Imperative, they would have a different outcome today.
All right, so she posted that and said, woke up this morning feeling fulfilled and grateful after spending time with FLOTUS at White House to kick off an important Cancer Moonshot initiative and visiting Breast Care for Washington, a recipient of funding from my partners, Hologic, which provides screening to women in need living in Ward 8 in D.C.
I support Mary J. Blige. Don't care for the administration, but I support Mary J. Blige.
Absolutely.
All right, now, Ashanti, here we go, because I want to make sure we get this out for Angie Martinez's interview. So here is Ashanti talking to Angie Martinez about Irv Gotti.
It wasn't surprising to me, to an extent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I've accepted a long time ago that that's the person that he is. But now the world is seeing.
What is that?
To me, like I said, I feel like Irv is like mentally not in a good place, you know? Mm-hmm. You see people that have narcissistic ways, mm-hmm. you know? There is a difference between when men are hurt and when women are hurt. And how we carry that hurt and how long we carry that hurt.
Yeah, because I got to imagine you've been hurt in this
absolutely.
Process.
You know, and I'm not intentionally trying to disrespect people. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that's what he was trying to do?
1,000,000%.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there you have it.
She definitely,
that full interview.
She definitely has a long runway to tell her story because, you know, she hasn't said anything.
Right, this is the first time mm-hmm. she's really spoken on it.
Yep.
So
well, she spoke on it back in the day in an old
and
Breakfast
I saw that
Club
clip
interview.
Resurfacing mm-hmm. as well. But, you know, she's, I guess, getting more in depth. I understand her whole thing, though, is just let me just ignore this whole thing and this whole person. But I guess she feels like now this is just too much. All right. And that is your rumor report.
All right. Now, the People's Choice mixes up next. Get your request in. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum large size condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum large size condoms. We are The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne!
Yes, sir.
You have a positive note for the
positive people? Note is simply this, man. It's just really a reminder. You. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You are the ancestor that changes everything for your bloodline. You are the golden light in human form, bought the earth with a higher purpose. All right, go break some generational curses today.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.